Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. According to Gallup, 58% of U.S. adults agree that a third major party is needed in the U.S. because Republican and Democratic parties do such a poor job of representing the American people. That marks the 12th consecutive majority-level reading in Gallup's trend that stretches back more than two decades, if they've been asking about a third major party. Supporters of so-called third parties say that the two-party system has failed. Alternatives are needed. Proponents of the two major parties say that third-party candidates' independents are just spoilers. Today we're going to talk with representatives from the United Utah Party, the Constitution Party of Utah, Utah Libertarian Party, and the Green Party of Utah. Hope you'll stay with us following the news. Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. According to Gallup, 58% of U.S. adults agree that a third major party is needed in the U.S. because the Republicans and Democrats, Democratic parties do such a poor job of representing the American people. That marks the 12th consecutive majority-level reading for that question in Gallup's trend, which stretches back more than two decades. Supporters of so-called third parties say that the two-party system has failed. Alternatives are needed. Proponents of the two parties say that a third-party candidate independents are just spoilers. Today we're going to be talking with representatives from the United Utah Party and the Utah Libertarian Party. We've invited representatives from the Green Party and Constitution parties, and they may join us as the hour goes on. We'll see. We bring in Barry Short, chair of Utah Libertarian Party. Mr. Short, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Tom. I appreciate it.
Ladd Johnson, chair of the United Utah Party, is with us as well. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Good to have you both with us. I'll start with Barry Short. Just tell us here at the beginning what the Utah Libertarian Party is and what you stand for.
All right. Glad to do that. And Tom, before I do that, just because I do believe in full disclosure, I should mention that I am our party's candidate for lieutenant governor here in Utah.
Okay.
And I'm pleased to be doing that job. But the Utah Libertarian Party, the Libertarian Party in general, is America's third largest party. We have operations in all 50 states and most of the territories as well. And we're international. A lot of people are paying attention to Javier Milei, who was recently elected the president of Argentina and is a libertarian. That's kind of a first in a long time for us. Although we do believe that libertarianism is a long-held position that reflects a lot of the long-standing values of America. A lot of us look at Thomas Jefferson really as our founder in a lot of ways. What the Libertarian Party calls for, to be very simple, is a society that is based more on mutual cooperation and mutually beneficial exchange. All of government involves negative incentives. That is to say that the reason you do things is because if you violate certain rules, you get punished, and therefore, you know, we try to keep people in line. And admittedly, there's a very tiny percentage of the population that perhaps needs to be kept in line that way. But for the most of us, we go about our lives doing things that are beneficial to ourselves and to others, and that we cooperate. And that, we believe, is what makes a civil society, when we're able to act on our own in freedom and make the decisions that are best for us as individuals, but also end up being best for society because we are cooperating mutually.
I want to follow up. Did you ever belong to another party, one of the major parties, or were you always a libertarian?
I've always thought of myself as a libertarian. I was registered as a Republican when I was much younger, because that's what my family had done, and I stayed there for a while. And you know, there's always been a thread within the Libertarian Party that maybe we can use our influence to make the other parties move more in our direction. But my experience, and again, this is more than 50 years of voting at this point, is that that's not been very fruitful. And as a result, I choose now to work outside that system rather than from within.
I'll follow up further as we go along. Ladd Johnson, chair of the United Utah Party. Tell me about United Utah Party. What are you? What do you stand for?
Thanks, Tom. Our party was formed about 7 years ago. We're pretty new in that respect. We were formed in large part because of the polarization, increasing polarization and dividedness that we were seeing in our country, and the fear that the two main parties had been taken over by the extreme wings of the party, at least in who speaks for them, and the ideologies continue to become more and more extreme. And so we were looking for political party, a way to get politically organized that would be focused on working together, seeing the good in other people, bringing people together, and as opposed to just standing on the other side of the valley and shouting insults back and forth at each other. So once we got up and running, originally when we got up and running, we had to file a lawsuit actually to get up and running. The other parties weren't very excited about us having us there. But we were able to get official ballot access and start running as a party. We try to focus on mainstream ideas, ideas that are common sense, practical, that matter to citizens, right? We're not into the sort of the extreme ideology espoused by either party. Our platform focuses on what we refer to as the five E's: economy, education, environment, equality, and ethical government. And those points are not really right or left points. They're just sort of common sense points, I would say. You know, we want people to have good jobs. We want people to be able to get a good education. We want to protect Utah's environment. You know, we live in Utah because it's a great outdoor playground from north to south. Everyone loves the outdoors here, so we ought to manage the drought and be careful with our bad air, which is a problem. And I think probably the heart and soul of what we like to do is to focus on ethical government. We think that certain simple reforms in government and the way we vote and in the way that our government operates would tone down the really divisive rhetoric that we see these days and allow the government to actually be more responsive to the people and do a better job.
All right. And where have you been in your political life? What weren't always in the United Utah Party because it didn't exist for a while.
That's true. I was a registered Republican earlier, just as in Utah, that's the way you have your voice heard usually. But I've always felt myself to be more of a centrist and moderate.
Okay. So I want to pose this question to you. Each of you gentlemen, this is on many people's minds, I think. It's for a lot of people, they'll tell you, I don't know who I want for president, for example, but I know who I don't want, right? And so it's a strategic voting, and people would tell you you're free to vote for whoever you want unless you live in these seven states, right? But if you're one of those seven states and you vote third party, then you're just going to elect the other guy or gal that we hate. I wonder, Barry Short first, do you I don't know, you worry about that. Libertarian Party, I think, is on in all 50 states or a big majority of them. Are you concerned about that argument?
Well, first of all, I mean, we've been hearing the spoiler argument for as long as we've been a party, and our response to that, first of all, is how can you spoil something that's already rotten? And frankly, nobody is enthusiastic about, or very few people, I should say. I shouldn't say no one, but people aren't generally enthusiastic about either of the candidates given us by the two old legacy parties. And most of the voting is against rather than for. And that's tough. It's always tough to break through. And every single election cycle we hear, this is the most important election of your lifetime, over and over and over. And it's always about the negative towards the other candidate. This is why, as a party, the Libertarian Party endorses ranked choice voting, or I prefer actually to call it instant runoff voting. because that allows you to vote first for the person that you actually want to hold the position. And then if that person is not the winner, then your vote transfers to your second choice. So for that reason, we really believe very firmly that doing that would open up the possibility of people being able to vote for the one they actually want to win, as opposed to voting against the one that they most want to not win.
Ranked choice voting has been instituted in some areas. It's not widespread, but so you think that would break the logjam? We'd have more than two parties?
I think it absolutely would be a huge help. It's going to take a little while for people to adjust to the idea and understand how the process actually works, which again is one of the reasons that I like to refer to it as instant runoff voting. Because basically it means you're doing multiple rounds of voting, but you do it in a single vote, rather than having to do, you know, one vote and eliminate the last person and then vote again and then eliminate whoever's last position and vote again. That's what we do within the Libertarian Party at our national convention. I think we had 11 candidates running for our presidential nomination. And I believe it took us 9 ballots to get there, because after each ballot, you eliminate the person in last place and vote again until you get to someone who has a consensus. And someone only gets the nomination if they're supported by more than half of the delegates. And I think that would be great in terms of how we elect everybody in the United States if nobody was getting elected with only a plurality, but rather with a majority.
Ladd Johnson, again, chair of the United Utah Party, I want to ask you the same thing, that this idea of spoiler. Your party's only here in Utah, but do you get those accusations levied against you? And what do you think about that argument against a third party?
Yeah, we do. Look, the spoiler effect, as Barry said, that argument's been around for a long time, and it does carry some weight. Let's be honest. Some people look at that, and it does influence their vote. The way we look at it, where there is so much polarization and division in politics right now, the two-party system isn't working. And the only way that's going to change is if people get organized outside of the two parties and push for change. And that's not, the two parties just are not going to fix themselves. It's just not going to happen. They have no incentive to do it. They're locked in their power structure. And so, you know, we don't view it as a spoiler. We view it as it's time to change. Something has to change. The current system isn't working. And we echo Barry's sentiments on ranked choice voting and changing the way we vote. Ranked choice voting is a great option. We also like approval voting, which is even arguably simpler. You basically just put the ballot out there and you can vote for as many candidates as you like. And whoever has the most votes wins. That simplifies the ballot. Some people argue that ranked choice voting ballots are a little bit difficult to understand, and it takes some getting used to. Not to say we don't support ranked choice voting, we do, but there are different ways we could vote. And honestly, if I could wave a magic wand and implement one reform across the entire United States that would have an immediate impact to tone down the rhetoric and the partisan politics we see, it would be changing the way we vote. If we implemented ranked choice voting or approval voting on a nationwide basis, then all of a sudden people would not be just campaigning to their base or to the far, you know, extremes who are of their party. They would have to campaign in a way that they would focus not only on getting people's first place votes, but also their second place votes. And just that alone would change the very dynamic of how we campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Lincoln's strategy, right? 1860. He knew he wasn't going to be first choice on many ballots, but can I be second choice on more? And it turned out to be a winning strategy for him. So, Ladd Johnson, what about other reforms? Eliminating winner-takes-all, for example. The jungle primary. There are other reforms. Do you support those?
Yeah. We are fans of an open primary, absolutely. There's a group in Utah that's advocating for that right now, for open primaries. They would like top two to advance from an open primary. We like open primaries, but think it's got to be more than top two. We actually like the model that Alaska uses, where they have an open primary with, I believe it's the top four that advance to the general election, and then ranked choice voting is used in the general election. That seems to have worked really well in Alaska, and I think that would definitely work well here in Utah as well.
Very short, what do you think about those reforms? Any others you'd like to mention?
What we've seen from jungle primaries, we're not at all pleased with. We think it tends to cement the power of the two legacy parties, particularly the top two. I despise the idea of the top two and an open primary. And frankly, I think there's a great value in political parties. I know that George Washington argued against the formation of political parties. But the fact of the matter is, in America today, is that we need a variety of voices all advocating for the positions that they support. And I believe the best way to do that is to allow as many voices as possible into the process. And of course, if you're doing ranked choice, instant runoff type voting, it really doesn't matter how many names are on that ballot. You're going to come up with a consensus on the person who is most liked by the largest number of people, most acceptable to the largest number of people. So, no, I don't like top two. I don't like top four. I'd actually more like 25 people on every ballot for every position. And then we sort them out. Because I think we're entirely capable of doing that. I don't think we need to have to come down to a binary choice. That is kind of the core of the problem that we have in America now, that we're stuck with this binary choice, and it's like, do you want to be slapped up the right side of your head or the left side of your head? Well, I don't want to be slapped upside my head.
Now, we could go to a more parliamentary type system, not full parliamentary. For example, the way we choose our representatives, the way representatives represent districts, that could be changed if we were to do that. I would have, first to very short on that idea.
Yes, we absolutely like a lot of parliamentary style representation because we think that would get a lot more voices into our legislature. If we've got, if say libertarians draw 10% of the vote in this election, well, in a parliamentary system, that would mean that we would have 10% of the seats in the state legislature. As it is, if we draw 10%, if we draw 25% of the vote in this election, we still might have no seats in the legislature. So all of those people who voted for us have, are disenfranchised in that situation. I kind of like the situation that they or the procedure that they use in Germany, where everybody elects their local representatives. So you're not doing something where the party is selecting candidates. You're still selecting your local representatives. But then they look at the votes cast, and if a party has fewer representatives in their legislature than what the vote would suggest they should have gotten, they simply add that number of people who are able to be inserted into the parliament, so that the parties remain balanced, but everybody in each local jurisdiction gets their own representative that they've elected.
I want to get your perspective, Ladd Johnson, on this toward a more parliamentary, more representative system.
Yeah, I echo a lot of what Barry said there. I think that type of reform would be helpful and would diversify the voices in our government. Right now, you've got such a narrow, small group of voices that are the ones making the decisions, particularly in the state of Utah. And you get into scenarios where they may all be nice people, and they are nice people when you meet them and go to lunch with them and things like that. But when they get together in the group, there's sort of this groupthink mentality that causes them to make some, what I think are really terrible decisions. I mean, the recent example of what they tried to do with Amendment D and to the Utah Constitution, where they not only got together and proposed a constitutional amendment for the voters to give up their right to a citizen initiative and a do away with that check and balance, but then they intentionally use misleading language when they put it on the ballot. I mean, those are just two terrible examples, two terrible decisions made by this group that just don't make any sense. I think any legislator who would ask themselves the question in a vacuum, is it a good idea to eliminate a check and balance? You'd have to say no, but so I don't even think they should have put the question forward on the ballot in the first place. But then once they did, to try and deceive the Utah voters into voting for it, it's just an example of how a very narrow way of thinking is currently governing the state of Utah and in other places. And so having some sort of parliamentary system or voting reform, anything we can do to broaden the number of voices in government is a better service to the people.
Tom, if yes. I could add something to that, if you don't mind, and that is that I have to agree on Amendment D. Ladd is totally correct there. And I just found it astonishing. You know, one of the things that comes up in polling over and over and over that we're told is that Utah's biggest problem is that our politicians don't listen to the people. And then our politicians literally put an amendment on the ballot to say that they didn't have to listen to the people. What are they thinking?
Yeah, that is true. That the regular survey, that's either one or two, right? Lately, the politicians don't listen to the people.
Every time.
List of concerns, yeah. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back much more in this conversation. We're talking with Barry Short, chair of the Utah Libertarian Party, and Ladd Johnson, chair of the United Utah Party. We'll have more following this break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. In this election season, presidential race, all of our races coming down to the last couple of weeks here. And we're checking in with representatives from so-called third parties. Want to reference this poll again. Gallup does this poll regularly. And in the latest one, 58% of U.S. adults agree that a third major party is needed in the U.S. because the Republican and Democratic parties do such a poor job of representing the American people. That marks the 12th consecutive majority reading in that particular question in Gallup's poll, stretching back more than two decades. So I want to start with this question with Ladd Johnson, chair of the United Utah Party. We have him, and along with Barry Short, chair of the Utah Libertarian Party. So Ladd Johnson, this idea, and both you gentlemen were speaking about this, that currently the parties are not representing the people as they're supposed to be doing. So the impulse for United Utah Party, I think as you said it, is a lot of people are in the center, and they're just not being represented as the incentives take politicians, all the way to the right or all the way to the left. And that leaves the center being unrepresented. How does that, so that's probably a majority, I'm guessing, or close to it. But we've been talking about the structures that prevent a party like yours from fully breaking through. What's it going to take, do you think?
Well, I think we're starting to see a trend. There's another Gallup poll that we follow in the party, in addition to the one you've cited, where it shows the number of people who identify as Republicans and Democrats versus independents. And that's been going for 20 years or so with Gallup as well. And I believe last time I checked, it showed Republicans at 27, Democrats at 27, and independents at 43. And if you think about that, that's actually a pretty astonishing statistic, that barely over one-fourth of the country identifies as Republican and one-fourth as Democrat. The size of the group in the middle is continuing to grow. And as the two parties continue to not be responsive to the parties, or not be responsive to the people, I think we're going to see that trend continue. Now, what's happening, I think, is you're starting to see lots of groups pop up at states and across the nation. In Utah, we've got the United Utah Party. We also have the Utah Forward Party, which was recently formed here in Utah. It's another centrist, moderate group. Nationally, you've got the Forward Party, which operates on a national basis. There are groups like No Labels, which flirted with the idea of running a centrist political ticket for the president this year. You've got groups like Braver Angels, which is a national group that is trying to take the bitter, angry tone out of politics. You've got groups like the Good Party, which is an organization nationally that tries to help independent candidates and gives them resources to run as independents. And as all of these groups start to pop up and form, I think what is happening is the middle is starting to get politically organized. And right now it's a bunch of different pockets. But what I see happening over the next few years is that all of those pockets will start coming together and will form a coalition in the middle that will be sizable enough that the spoiler effect will not be an issue anymore, that people will start to look at that group and say, yes, we're going to get behind this group. They actually are more representative of what we want as citizens. And we're seeing that happen this year in Utah, actually. There are a number of very strong candidates running with the United Utah Party, with Forward Party, but also a number of independents who have a good chance at winning some seats this year. And we have worked closely with the Utah Forward Party and with these independents, several of the independents that we've endorsed by the United Utah Party. And we see that group coming together in Utah as well. And we sort of view ourselves as all being on the same team here as the middle starts to get politically organized. Now, it's possible that certainly it's not going to happen overnight, right? And so we need to remind everyone that this is a marathon, not a sprint. But the marathon is happening. It started. And we think it's going to continue.
A very short, similar question to you. Libertarians, historically, at least at times, have been the two major parties are supposed to be big tents, right? And libertarians sometimes have camped under the tent of the Republicans. I don't know if libertarians would be right now a majority, but what's going to take for libertarians or any similar party to break through?
Well, one of the things that the Libertarian Party has been doing nationally, and that I'm certainly talking about a lot with our people here in Utah, is that we need to have some focus besides these big races that where we all go in knowing that we're unlikely to win. We're not likely to win a governorship. We're not likely to win the presidency. But you know what? There are a whole lot of other positions in this country, in this state, that have a great deal of influence on our lives, where we are, in fact, winning a lot of seats, where there are something like 400 elected libertarians around the country. But where are they? They're in city councils, they're mayors, they're on county commissions, they're in all sorts of positions like this. I mean, in some of the states, they elect all sorts of stuff that we don't elect here in Utah, like water boards and sanitation districts and all sorts of things like that. And we really need to put our focus on building the bench, if you will, in order to move up the ladder. Because part of the thing that happens in determining who we elect to positions is that as humans, we like voting for people that we know something about. And we don't like unknown quantities. So if somebody's served a term or two on a local city council, for example, or maybe they've been a mayor, or maybe they've been a county attorney, whatever, they stand a much better chance of winning that race when they run for the state House of Representatives or state Senate, or maybe Congress. And we haven't done as good a job as we need to do in building that bench. And I think that would make a huge difference. Now, it does help that in this election cycle, clearly more and more people are dissatisfied with the choices that they're being given. And as a result, we had three candidates of the Libertarian Party who were in races where the Utah Debate Commission would be sponsoring the debates. And we had all three of those candidates reach the debate stage this year. That's a first for us. And the result is that we've gotten a lot more attention and more people are going to be looking at the Libertarian Party as a viable way to make a difference in Utah. And I'm very excited by that possibility. And I hope to do everything I can to make that come to fruition.
Well, Johnson, I'm not sure how United Utah did it with the debates. It's usually a threshold. You got to poll at a certain level, right? Which can be a catch 22, right? How do you because that can really put your candidates forward if they get on the debate stage.
Yes, we actually had our Attorney General candidate, Michelle Quist, make the debate stage, and she's polling high enough. So we're very happy with that. And we think she's got a very strong campaign and a very strong race there. If you look at the history of our Attorney General's office and what it's been for the last several years, it's just been one problem after another. And you could argue, and it's my belief, that a lot of those problems stem from that office trying to be hyper-partisan, trying to please the National Republican Party, filing lawsuits in other states about voter fraud, which didn't exist. But it all seems to be a showcase office to try and impress. And so one of the things that Michelle has been campaigning on, which I think is absolutely correct, is that that office, especially that office of all the other offices, the top law enforcement office in the state, really shouldn't be subject to these partisan political pulls. And she's the candidate who can go in there and be an independent voice who's not going to be influenced by a national political party and their donors, and just worry about representing the state of Utah as opposed to doing what the party requests.
Let's take another break.
Tom?
Yes, go ahead, and
Oh,
then we'll take a break.
no. Oh, okay. I just wanted to very quickly mention one other thing that I've been talking about in my campaign for Lieutenant Governor that I think would help a lot for us. And that is that Utah needs to take a good, strong look at what our filing fees are, the amount that candidates must pay before they can declare themselves a candidate and run. Utah's fees are way, way higher than those of any of the other states around us. And particularly at the county level, they're really prohibitive. They serve to discourage people from getting involved. They serve to discourage people from declaring themselves to be candidates. Nobody wants to go spend close to $1,000, if they don't think they've got a pretty good chance of winning. So I'd like to see those fees. There's a portion of our fee that is based on the salary that a position would receive, and that just seems kind of nuts to me, and I'd like to have that provision in our elections code repealed, so that we just have a base fee of $50 or so, and that's your filing fee, not the crazy hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
By the way, I notice you go to the website of the candidacy, Rob Latham and yourself running for governor and lieutenant governor. I guess the slogan, the motto here is "On your ballot, no write-in required." That's important, right? Write-in is pretty hard to do.
Yeah, write-in is very, very difficult. And obviously, there have been some things that we had nothing to do with that are going to really complicate the counting of the write-ins this time. They're always tough to do. We'll have no idea on Tuesday night, election night, of what those are, because those all have to be hand counted. So it's going to be a very, very messy election count this year. But yes, we are on your ballot. No need to do anything but fill in that circle.
Lud Johnson, I guess you would probably echo that. Pretty, we'll see how Phil Lyman does, for example. A lot of name recognition there. That's what you'd have to have. Senator Murkowski, I think, won with a write-in, but again, a lot of name recognition. Worth a lot to be on the ballot, but that's a kind of a high threshold for some candidates.
Yeah, absolutely. It is important to have ballot access, and I think that's one of the great things that comes with being part of a political party. We can give those common sense, moderate, centrist candidates a voice and ability to get to the ballot without having to go through the hoops that they'd have to go through without that party name to be able to give them access to it. So, yeah, I agree. I would love to see more candidates on the ballot and more folks having a shot at representing the people.
Barry Shore, you'd say you'd like to see 25, or you'd pull that number out, I guess, but wouldn't that be kind of chaotic?
I'm not afraid of chaos.
Okay.
I think chaos is better than the kind of enforced order that we have at this point.
Yeah. Let's go to break. We'll come back with the final segment on this very interesting discussion. Barry Short is chair of the Utah Libertarian Party. He's with us, and Lad Johnson is with us as well. He's chair of the United Utah Party. More following this break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking about so-called third parties on the program today. Majority support, according to the latest Gallup poll, for a major third party or a third major party in the U.S., and that's been a trend over the last several decades. But we'll still have essentially the two-party system. If you're Democrat or Republican, you're more likely, quite a bit more likely to get elected. But that may be changing, our guests say. Barry Short, chair of Utah Libertarian Party, is with us. Lad Johnson, chair of United Utah Party. Barry Short, I want to direct this to you. So the candidates you recruit, as Lad Johnson said, those candidates know. Everybody knows you're less likely to win, right, if you're a Libertarian, a United Utah Party. But admirable thing to run. What kinds of folks do you need to go to recruit under those circumstances?
That's a great question, and I wish I had a better answer for it than I have right now. I think part of it, as I was saying earlier, though, is that we just need more visibility. We need to be seen as a legitimate alternative because we have a lot of people who are very libertarian leaning in this world. Most of the testing that we've done indicates that about 25% of Americans fall into the libertarian quadrant on the spectrum. We know there are a lot of people out there, but we also tend to have a lot of people who are pretty independent, personally independent, and who maybe don't feel like they have the time to do the things that you would have to do as an elected representative. So that kind of discourages some people from running, that they feel like they don't have the time to devote to it. But that reflects our policies, our platform in many ways, because we think government is too big, it's too invasive, it's too repressive on all of us, and that we ought to have a whole lot less of it. So we just get out there and let people know. But going back to being a candidate, the great thing about running, when you are running as a person who is an outsider, if you will, is that you aren't really restricted in what you're able to say. You know, I'm not like the guy who's, boy, if I say the wrong thing, it might cause me to lose this election. No, the only way I'm going to win this election is if I say the right things. So you have a certain freedom to go out and talk about policies and talk about the way you believe things should be, that frankly, I don't think candidates of the Republican or Democratic parties have that kind of freedom.
Lud Johnson, same question to you. How do you recruit candidates? What sorts of folks? I could see, if you're going to run as a Republican or Democrat, you'd always perhaps have some part of that broad platform that you're a little queasy with. You don't agree with everything. If you run with United Utah Party, maybe it's hit your sweet spot a little better as a candidate.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're really excited about our candidates. And we've actually had candidates come to us as this centrist movement continues to grow in Utah and throughout the United States. And our candidates are awesome. They are well known in the community. They serve on the PTA. You know, they volunteered at the city. These are active citizens who just want to try and help. And that's one thing I love about our party is that they see the problems with the two-party system. They also realize that you just are not going to make progress trying to be a moderate inside one of the two parties. That lane is closed. And so their choices are to sit at home and complain about the two-party system or get out on their feet and try and do something. So we have a party full of people who are, I would call them doers. They're out trying to do something about it. And I think for us, we're only 7 years old, and we continue to get a large number of votes every year. I believe on a total vote count, we get the most votes of any party other than the two major parties in Utah, and have, I believe, on a pretty regular basis since we've been formed. I think the longer we stick around, the more we grow, the more people will see what we stand for, that we are common sense, we're not going to be extreme, and we'll be able to work with both sides and come up with good solutions for Utah that isn't something that is forced upon you by a national party.
Very short. You know, if you're concerned about the polls, if you're a Democrat or Republican, this very tight presidential election, you probably are, you know, chewing on your fingernails and looking at those undecideds. But some of those are not undecided between the candidates. Some of those are trying to decide between, do I vote or do I not vote? Is it worth it or is it not? I suppose Libertarian Party, United Utah Party, give people more options. That could be a way to get people out to vote.
It's absolutely a way to get people out to vote. If all I had in this presidential election were the candidates of those two legacy parties, I'd probably opt not to give my support to either one of them, just because I really don't like either one of them. I think both of them have put forward policies that I find distasteful. And it's great to some degree that I'm living in Utah, because I know which way the presidential election is going to run. My vote is not going to make any difference in that whatsoever. And for that reason, I'm free to use my vote to express my support for someone rather than my distaste for someone else. And so that's why I'll be voting for Chase Oliver for president.
Mm-hmm. Same question to you, Lott Johnson, United Utah Party. Getting people out to vote, what would you say?
We absolutely want to see voter participation increase, and we're concerned with talk in the Republican Party in Utah about doing away with or limiting mail-in ballots. Mail-in ballots have proven to be secure and effective way and allow people to vote in a way that's not rushed. They can study out their choices as opposed to just making split-second decisions in the ballot box. And so we're proponents of the mail-in voting system. Of course, it needs to be secure. We're not suggesting that people who aren't allowed to vote should vote, but we think we should do everything we can to increase voter participation and voter outreach and encourage people to vote and make it incredibly easy for them to verify themselves and be registered to vote.
I just have 2 or 3 minutes left. I want to take a look to the future. You both talked about how we can make change happen away from the two-party, major two-party system. So very short, how do you think it's likely to happen? Last time we had a huge change was, the 1850s. The Whig Party collapsed and the Republicans took their place. Of course, that preserved a two-party system, which maybe we don't want. How is it? Is the whole system likely to collapse, a gradual change? How does change happen, do you think?
Change historically seems to be catastrophic rather than gradual. And so, yeah, I suspect that when it happens, it's going to be calamitous. And it will be sudden, and we will all be shocked at what happened. When that's going to be, boy, that's hard to say. There are a lot of things that I've been looking at and thinking this is imminent for years, and it hasn't happened. So I guess we'll just cross our fingers and hope it's soon.
Lott Johnson, what do you think?
I think change is happening right now. Like I mentioned, there are so many groups that are starting to pop up, political parties and other organizations nationwide and within Utah, that are starting to come together. And I see that trend continuing. I think in the next, probably 4 to 6 years, you'll see that accelerate, the pace at which that is happening accelerate. And I think you'll see a moderate centrist political force come out of those efforts that will challenge the two parties. And the two parties, bless their hearts, they're not capable of changing. They just simply can't. They can't help themselves. And so they'll see that coming and they won't be able to do anything about it because they're too locked in their power structures.
Finally, just a couple of minutes, a minute each. You've each been very nice to come on. I'll give you a minute each to tout Libertarians, United Utah Party. So very short, why should people vote for Libertarians this go around?
When you were a small child, you learned two lessons very, very early. Number one is don't hurt people. Number two is don't take their stuff. We believe that when a society adheres to those two rules, it's a civil, pleasant, happy society. We're the only party that actively calls for those to be the two rules of life, and that those two rules should be applied equally to the operation of our government. So if you believe that you can get along with your neighbors, even when you don't agree with them on everything, and you may not even approve of everything they do, but you get along because it's not worth fighting over, then maybe you might be a libertarian.
All right. Led Johnson, the 30 seconds, same to you. Why should people vote for the United Utah Party candidates?
Well, what we're seeing with the national polarization and the divisiveness and the anger that people are feeling is actually the biggest problem in America. You can pick any one policy and say, this is our biggest problem. The biggest problem is that we're being torn apart and we need to come together and be unified. And the United Utah Party and these other groups give us that opportunity to come together, work together, and feel like a country again.
We've been talking with Barry Short, chair of the Utah Libertarian Party. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Thank you. And Ladd Johnson, chair of the United Utah Party, has been with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you having me.
And thanks, everyone, for listening today. And we'll go out, as we do on Tuesdays, with Crossroads. Thanks.
Every rural person and place has a story. Change is part of that story. Rural Utah at a Crossroads is part of the Smithsonian Traveling Exhibit Crossroads, Change in Rural America, which explores the changing meaning of rural life and identity. Utah Humanities is touring Crossroads to 8 rural communities across Utah in 2024. As part of the tour, Utah Humanities and Utah Public Radio are partnering with exhibition hosts to interview local residents about change in their communities. This interview with Piper Riddle was recorded at the Wasatch County Library in Heber City, Utah.
I'm the executive director for the rural school districts in northeastern Utah. The whole like vision and mission of a rural school service center is to provide equity and access for rural districts so that, you know, students anywhere, you know, it doesn't matter where you live or how small your community is or how small your class size is, that you have equal access to high quality public education. And so that's the work. And that is joyful work, I have to say. I mean, it's all service based. It's all advocating for public school resources for students and for the adults that work with them. So our youngest is 14 and our oldest is 26. And our oldest boy, when he was 10 when he was diagnosed with Asperger's, and we took him to the University of Utah for that diagnosis. I was an educator and I had no idea. Like, I really didn't know about autism or understand. And we just always thought he was quirky and unique, right? And so we had just accommodated him. Once I understood that diagnosis and that community and then all the resources, I couldn't find them up here. They were all, you know, down in Utah County or Salt Lake County. That being said, I mean, that's not the landscape now. You know, there's, I think, more and more resources. And then even within the school setting, because like I said, I'm in the school setting and I'm learning as an educator about my autistic child. And now I really feel like educators, certainly in Wasatch County and beyond, like we have a better understanding of all the ways to be neurodiverse and how to support and celebrate. And I would say the same for, so I actually have two queer children and I don't know if they could have come out 20 years ago in this community. So, and then our 14-year-old, we actually just adopted him in December and he grew up in the foster care system and he's biracial, which is also really unique in our community. That's still a major opportunity for growth and improvement. He has faced racial discrimination and pejoratives at school all of his life. And that has been eye-opening to me, right? So as a school teacher and then a school administrator, I wasn't as aware of that. Now, as a mom, having children who are so unique in their ways of thinking about things, can sometimes be challenging in a rural community, but overall, I think the community has been not unkind, and that all individuals who come and show up in unique ways in rural communities really do, I think, add maybe even more significant flavor than if they were in an urban area, right? Like that they matter and they become kind of a beacon for the others, even more so.
Rural Utah at a Crossroads is produced by Maya Shumway. It is a collaboration between Utah Public Radio, Utah Humanities, and the community hosts of Crossroads, Change in Rural America, a Smithsonian Museum on Main Street exhibition made possible in the Beehive State by Utah Humanities. Support for Museum on Main Street has been provided by the United States Congress. Broadcasts of Rural Utah at a Crossroads on UPR is supported by our members,